Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, if you can't listen live every morning, sign up for the Brian Lehrer Show podcast. It's easy to do, and it's free on iTunes. Think you already know who the next New York City mayor will be? Greg David from Crane's New York Business and the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism is here now to argue that mayoral primary polls have been notoriously wrong in past elections and what that means for this one. Hi, Greg. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be here.
Why don't you think the polls can be trusted?
Because their track record is terrible, and they're terrible not just in the primaries, they're terrible in the general election. And here's why that's important. Look, polls in primaries are bad everywhere in the country, and they're bad because they can't figure out who's going to vote. You know, if you look at the estimates of turnout, some people think the turnout on September 10th in the Democratic primary is going to be north of 800,000, and other people say it's going to be south of 600,000. Well, that's an enormous difference. And it's not just more of the same people. Very different people would come to vote. So they just can't do a good job of figuring out who's going to vote. Now, I thought there was a great example of that in the last 2 days, not just on the mayoral race, but let's look at the controller's race for a second. Earlier in the week, everyone was abuzz because the Quinnipiac poll says the controller race between Scott Stringer and Elliot Spitzer is tied. And today, the Siena poll tells us there's a 15-point gap, that Spitzer's up by 15 points. Well, they both can't be right, right?
Right. And you wrote that Quinnipiac polls have had an especially spotty record before mayoral primaries. What numbers were you looking at?
Well, I was looking at the general election. See, they should get the general election right. The reason is many more people vote. In New York City, at least 2 to 3 times the number of people vote in the November election. It's much easier to figure out who's going to vote. And historically, across the whole country, people get their last poll before the November vote is usually correct. But in 2005, Quinnipiac missed the margin by 18 percentage points. In 2009, they missed it by 8. Marist missed the margin in 2005 by 14 points and by 11 points in 2009. These are horrific numbers.
Did they have Bloomberg?
At a time when everyone else should be, at a time when you should be close to being right.
Did they have Bloomberg winning by too much or too little?
Way too much in 2009 way too much in 2005. They were wrong on both years by an enormous amount. I mean, if you can't get November within a couple points, there's really something fundamentally wrong.
And why would that be? Were there people who got systematically undercounted, groups of people in both of those years?
Well, you know, I've talked to a lot of political operatives and consultants over the years about this, and they just say they're shoddy polls. They don't spend any money on them, that they're done on the cheap. And when you do them on the cheap, this is what you get. You know, and if you just look at the numbers that came out this week, the Quinnipiac poll was based on a little more than 600 responses. The New York Times poll that's out today that was done with Siena is based on a little more than 500 responses. I mean, I just don't think that if you really want to do a good poll, you can really do it on that few numbers. Now, what's really ironic here, and what I think is really, and of course we know the Thompson campaign is very aggrieved by the polls because they think they're really being hurt by them, is that in the primaries, not in the general election, but in the primaries, polls can become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
And that's because they motivate some voters to vote and other voters not to vote. And when you have such little turnout, it makes a difference. So this Bill de Blasio surge, and there is a surge, we just don't know how big it is, could just become a self-fulfilling prophecy because people who like him will be energized to vote, and Thompson and Quinn supporters will say, what's the use? I'm not going to make the effort.
If I'm not mistaken, the Quinnipiac mayoral poll didn't even break out Latinos separately, despite their importance, because they didn't have a large enough sample.
Well, that tells you something. I read a memo yesterday from the Thompson camp circulated that talked in depth about the differences between just the two Quinnipiac polls. The Thompson campaign has been arguing for more than a month now that its support among African American voters is being hopelessly understated. Most polls have shown for months that a white candidate gets more black votes than Bill Thompson does.
Right, and it was Anthony Weiner previously, and now it's de Blasio in the Quinnipiac poll. I think he's about statistically tied among black voters in the Siena New York Times poll, if I'm not mistaken, with Thompson.
Right. So, I do think Thompson doesn't have the support he has in 2009, but that's a very interesting question. And if these polls don't get that right, I mean, if black voters do support Bill Thompson in large numbers, let's say 50 or 60% or north of that, in 10 days from now, I think that'll be a big blow to the credibility of these polls.
What do you make of the unscientific poll of fast food workers rallying in Union Square yesterday to the point you were just describing or discussing, and their supporters at that rally? From the radio reports that I heard, there were cheers for de Blasio, boos for Quinn, and basically no vocal response to Bill Thompson's introduction.
Well, I do think that does reflect a certain sentiment out there. You know, you can use the polls in a broad way to think about what's happening in the race. I don't say you don't use the polls. I say the way they're being reported, as if they're the gospel truth every day, is not good for the race. But we do know a couple things. One of which we know is that Chris Quinn's support has been in a decline almost from the moment the campaign began. So you could make a judgment from that Chris Quinn was high in the polls because of name recognition, not because people loved her. When Anthony Weiner entered the race, her support dropped precipitously. And now that Weiner has self-destructed, at least in the polls, all of that support is going to de Blasio, and that's the fundamental reason behind his surge.
John Liu, who, by the way, is the rare Democrat who has never topped any of the polls this year, was on the show yesterday. And when I asked him a question about the polls, he said this.
The Quinnipiac polls have never measured the strength of my candidacy correctly or accurately this year or in previous elections. And the overall results of the Quinnipiac polls are somewhat spotty if you look at past year's elections. So at the end of the day, there's only one poll that matters. That's the poll on September 10th where the voters come out. And I think many people will be surprised by the actual results of that day.
So there's a little political analysis from Comptroller John Liu yesterday and another shot at Quinnipiac in particular. But Greg, is there some credence to Liu's claims? I've heard other people say that most of the polls somehow undercount his supporters in particular, meaning among certain immigrant groups especially.
I think there might be some validity in that, but I think there's a more important dynamic here that we have seen in mayoral primaries going back to 1989. We've had these four-person competitive races in 89, in 2001, in 2005. And when you get to August, the candidates who don't have a lot of support fade. And that's where John Liu is at the moment, because their supporters don't back someone who has no chance. And the other thing we get in August, which is what we're seeing today, and it's what we saw in 89 with David Dinkins, what we saw in 2001 with Freddie Ferrer, we saw it again in 2005, is a candidate catches fire. And that's what de Blasio's done this time. And that's why I'm in a very small minority, but I don't believe a runoff is certain in any way. We didn't have a runoff in 89. I think without the terrorist attacks, Ferrer wins without a runoff in 2001, and he won without a runoff in 2005.
Well, we'll see what happens on primary day. One other thing before you go. What about the impact of newspaper editorials? The city's three major dailies all endorsed Christine Quinn last week. And if we want to give some credence to these latest rounds of polls, her popularity has only trended downward since.
Well, I've actually had three people tell me this week that those endorsements will really help the speaker, and I've said I don't believe it. I don't believe newspaper endorsements have much clout anymore, especially in an up-ballot race like mayor. I do think, you know, they make a big difference in the Manhattan Borough President's race. But in this case, I think the Times would have had an impact if it had endorsed de Blasio or Thompson. But it's going to be seen as the predictable Chris Quinn is the candidate of the establishment, and I don't actually think it will play much of a role.
We did see an endorsement of Thompson by the major Spanish language daily just this week. El Diario endorsed Bill Thompson, so we'll see if that has any impact on primary day. Greg David from Crane's New York Business and the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, is the New York City Police Officers Union telling members not to prevent crime? We will look at a memo to the rank and file on how to behave under the new racial profiling liability law. Stay with us.